But I really need to speak to you. This is not an ordinary church. You're not ordinary people. You're God's people. And there's one thing I've learned as I've traveled the nations over the last 20 years is that whether I'm in Budapest, Hungary, in the square where some poor woman who's selling herself out to prostitution or because she never had a father that loved her enough to let her know some other way of living, whether I'm in New York, downtown New York, talking to some business guy that's got no identification in his own life of who he is apart from the success of what he's done. No matter what part of the nation, there's one thing I've learned, that we live in a fatherless generation. I said we live in a fatherless generation. And I believe that God's asking this church to turn this thing around. God wants you to understand that right from the very beginning of time, right in the garden, the devil's done he's had one purpose in mind, and that is to create fatherlessness. And it was Adam in the beginning. He comes along and says to Adam, did God really say that? Do you not to take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Did God really say that? And we know that he won that round. And Adam was separated. This was his father that came down the cool, even chose to come down the cool of the evening and speak. That's how thoughtful your father in heaven is. They had come and talk to Adam in the cool of the evening. Adam walked away from him because of the doubt concerning fatherhood. Right through the scriptures in the Old Testament, right through to Jesus, that Satan has set up to try and take away the fatherhood character of God from you. What does the devil do with Jesus? He says, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. If you're the Son of God, come down off the cross. If you're the son. And I find today I live in a generation that says that has been totally separated from the fatherhood of God. I can remember I had a wonderful father. As a 13, 14-year-old boy, I remember him asking if I'd like to go to work with him. What kid doesn't want to go to work with their dad? I was in that truck as quick as I could get my boots on. My dad was a logger, timber merchant, and he wanted me to chain this log up. The chain was as big as I was. And all I can remember was trying to do this chain up when I felt the elbow of my father in my side saying, you're too slow. He doesn't know, he said it to this day. But I felt the wounds of that statement go into my side. And it was one day I can remember standing in front of the window in front of my home when I had my first church. And I heard God say to me, when are you going to let that issue go with your father? I was pastoring a church. I can remember letting that issue go. And a whole new dimension of the Father's love came into my life. This morning, there's people in this room that are orphaned from God. God, your father, because of your father was not able to be the kind of father that you needed him to be. Not because he wanted to be that way, because he never had a father to be a father to him. And so we've come into our Christian life loving the Father, but not knowing how much the Father loves us. Who heard me? You can love God, but that's not enough. It's not about your love for God. It's about God's love for you. Before the foundations of the earth, I said, before the foundations of the earth, you're in the mind of God for such a time as this. It's time that we begin to understand how much your Father loves you. But let me tell you this, until you can let stuff go, until you can forgive, we're not moving out of where we're at. Who can hear me today? I'm sorry for what your Father couldn't do for you. But that's why Jesus came to reveal what the Father's like. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus reflected what fatherhood was all about. And I don't see Jesus doing anything else but doing good, healing all those who are sick and oppressed of the devil. In fact, the Bible makes it very clear in Malachi, the fourth chapter, the sixth chapter, yeah, the last chapter, in the last, yeah, somewhere about verse 6, verse 4. It's written, it's on the right-hand side of the page, halfway down. I haven't got time to go there. Oh, there it is, Malachi 4:6. Oh, yeah, we got to read this. This is the Amplified version. I was going to give you Ferg's paraphrase version. It's shorter than that one. But listen to what it says. And he shall return and reconcile the hearts of the estranged fathers to the ungodly children, and the hearts of the rebellious children to the point of their fathers. A reconciliation produced by repentance of the ungodly, lest I come and smite the land with a curse and a ban of utter destruction. Can I just tell you this, my God? We live in a time where God is asking the church to understand that you were born into the kingdom. You are not an Australian citizen. If you've been born again, you are a citizen of heaven. He's asking you to carry the heart and the attitude of the kingdom of God into this earth. Your heavenly Father is going to have to curse the earth unless we can turn the tide and give our children a chance. I thank my God for everything my Father did for me. He gave me a great upbringing. He wasn't able to introduce me to Jesus because he didn't know Jesus himself. But he gave me a wonderful pathway. That is not an excuse for me not to understand that God is my perfect Father. And I can come to a perfect Father who knows how to father me. I feel loved. I feel liked. I've learned a whole lot of things about my Father that makes me want to hang around him. He loves my spirit of adventure. He loves me having a go at things. When it doesn't happen the first time, he says, do it again. My Father spoke to me one time. I'd come back from a trip and I was feeling a bit worn out, and I was lying on the couch, not wanting to read the paper, look at the television. It was just kind of one of those weird times where sometimes you get tired, you just don't know what you want. And I didn't know what I want. What? But Jesus spoke to me. He said, I want you to pray for allergies. I had no idea how many people in the world have allergies. And so I was very excited about having heard my Father say to me, I want you to pray for... I was ready for the first altar call, and out they came. I mean, I had sometimes in big churches, I'd have 100 people at the front of a 2,000-member church with allergies. I prayed for 6 months. Not one person got healed. But I heard my Father say it. How many people have heard their Father say something but never heard them? You hear, but you don't hear. because I hadn't got it inside of me. But you know what I love about my father? He wanted to put it inside of me. So I just kept going back and praying for people and living with the humiliation that I'd say to pastors, God told me to. I'm doing this because God told me. And then no one get healed. So imagine what I felt like. God told me. And I could almost hear the smirks. God told you? Yeah. Well, you're a bit one of those spiritual kind of guys. Huh? But you know what? 6 months later, I was in North Carolina, the worst state in all of U.S. for allergies. And the little pastor's wife, a petite little lady, came to me 3 days late because she normally meets us at the airport, but she was so sick she couldn't get out of bed. Her and her husband usually met us at the airport. 3 days later, she came, and she I prayed for her. And guess what? She got healed. Yeah. What I'm talking about, I'm talking about a father who wants to talk to us. And we just need to hear him. Doesn't matter. Your father's your father. He knows all about you. He knew that I didn't have it on the inside. He knew I heard it up here. But he knew I didn't have it down inside of me. Who knows that when you persevere with something, you get something on the inside of you. Church, we're living in an age where our generation need a father. We need fathers to become fathers. If not, maybe you haven't been a good father. But I'll tell you, you've got a good father who's about to talk to you about what this, your city needs. I should be preaching this on Father's Day, shouldn't I? But God's looking for some fathers to be fathers. I remember I prayed for this little lady, she got healed. She said, would you pray for the music director? He got healed. That night I had about 500 people in the altar call with allergies. I didn't pray for one of them because God told me to empower people to do it. I said, this little lady, I said, you haven't got time to pray for anybody. Oh, I just want you to run down the aisle and touch him on the head and the power of God will turn up. Well, she ran. There was bodies going everywhere. The power of God hit that place. It was like walking into a war zone. But that week, children were ringing up the office. Parents were ringing up the office. From that week on, I've seen allergies healed. Why am I talking like this? Because my father spoke to me. I heard him. I took it to my heart. He loved me going back and having a go, even though it didn't happen the first time. I might be a slow learner, but that's not my father. I got to try and wind this up. God wants the house of God to correct what's not happening in the earth. That's why God called you out, to take you into something. We need fathers. Your God is an amazing father. God wants to break the orphan spirit off this place this morning so you can be the kind of father that you want. I don't know where you're at this morning. But I do know God told me to preach this, so I know there's some people here that need to have the orphan spirit broken off them so they can receive the spirit of their father. If you're an orphan tonight, this morning, then it's most likely you've never felt the love of your father. You've learned. The church has a great heritage in teaching people. But experiencing is another thing. I said experiencing God's another thing. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. You can know all about food, but listen to me, I'm an expert. When you taste food, it makes a difference. Somebody can tell you that's really nice, but it's not until you taste it. I'm saying here God wants to break the orphan spirit because he doesn't want to curse the land. He wants to heal it. We are living in a fatherless generation. How many people do you know? How many kids do you know that haven't got a father? I wonder how many kids are here this morning that don't have a father. Satan's goal is to separate you from fatherhood. Who remembers the scripture says, God coming out of heaven, suddenly speaking to his son, this is my son in whom I am well. That's what God wants to hear. And I have no doubt that the day that they saw Jesus on the cross, the devil and all his cohorts were mocking, saying, we've got him. We've got the Son of God. We need to understand and hear the resurrection power restored sonship to its full capacity. We can have, you know what I love? My son coming to see me one day, he said, Dad, I could never deny Jesus because of the power that I've seen in our home. That was my saving grace he could ever say to me. Today, God wants to return in power to your home. I said, God wants to return in power to your household. I said, God wants to return in power to your... The resurrection power of Christ dealt the death blow to the devil. He has no power to separate you from the love of Christ. I don't know whether I seem to say too much more here. I believe that one of the responsibilities I have as a leader to create an atmosphere where a corporate as well as a personal culture or atmosphere of the fatherhood nature of God can exist. When I meet people, I just want to be a dad, even though I'm young enough to be a son to some people. I just want to create an atmosphere. Because I know that when we create an atmosphere of the Father's love, we can get a miracle. I say we can get a miracle. We can get healing. We can get restoration. That's what my Father's like. I believe today God wants to come to this house and wants you to understand the need to create a corporate anointing and presence of God so that when people step into that presence and that atmosphere, it's so easy to exercise faith towards your Father. Who can hear me? When there's an atmosphere, sir, that's what God called you to be, a father. I think I might have said that to you. Have I said that to you? God wants you to be a father to the fatherless. Come here, sir. Let me pray for both of you. Both of you stand here. I know you can do it. Come down. I know you can do it, sir. I'll tell you why I know you can do it, because when I walked in today, your smile and your words to me made me feel accepted. You made me feel like I was accepted in the beloved. Today, I mean, there's a grace on me today for you to receive this. Be a mom. All they need to hear from you is you're going to make it because you've made it. Through all the most difficult times and struggles, you're still here and you still love Jesus. You could have folded under the pressure, but you didn't. Today, I believe, I feel like I'm ordaining a father and a mother in the house of God. You don't have to be old to carry a heart of a father. Just got to understand fatherhood. In fact, I don't think you're ever going to be a father unless you're first a son. Maybe I'm talking to the woman too, because we need fathers. But you know, you're never going to be a father until you first understand what it is to be a son. When I look at all the ingredients, the great ingredients that my father had that made me feel so proud of him, yet there was one little moment the devil used to separate me from that love. I can't believe I was separated just by one little dig in the ribs that the devil got on. He didn't even know he did it. Sometimes our dads have said things that they didn't mean it, like we picked it up. Can we just shut our eyes for a moment? In fact, I tell you what, I'm just going to give the meeting back to the pastor, because we talked about this before. You know, this is what always scares me. I just start to feel the presence of God come in. It's time to go home. We have other responsibilities as well as kids and things. So I'm going to ask the pastor, if you can stay, I want you to stay, because I really feel like God's got to turn up here.